بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge and benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired. Ameen. Brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God willing, we'll be conducting a series of lessons every Monday, starting from tonight, talking about the life of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, known in English as Jesus. Since many Muslims are unaware of the true story of the life of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, it is very vital and important to talk about this great prophet, who is the last prophet before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, "I'm the nearer to Prophet Jesus in this world and in the hereafter." The prophets are like paternal brothers who share the same father, but they have different mothers. And I'm the most deserving of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. There is no prophet between me and him. Between Prophet Isa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them, there is a period of time about 600 years. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this hadith drew an analogy between the paternal brothers and the prophets. In what way? Brothers are of three types: blood brothers, who share the same father and same mother. So if you have a brother from the same father and same mother, that is called the blood brother. Those are called in Arabic ikhwa ashiqa. The second type of brotherhood is ikhwa li'allat, paternal brothers, meaning they share the same father, but they have different mothers. It's like someone married a lady and he had few children from her, then she passed away or he divorced her, for instance. Then he married another lady and also he had children from her. So those, in English they say stepbrothers. They share the same father, but they have different mothers. Those are called in Arabic إِخْوَ لِعَلَّاتِ. And the third type of brotherhood, ikhwa akhyaf, who share the same mother, but they have different fathers. It's like, for instance, a lady was married to someone and she had children from him, then he passed away. Then she married someone else and she had children from him. So those brothers will be sharing the same mother. That's what is common between them, but they have different fathers. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam likened the prophets to paternal brothers. He said, "Al-anbiya إخوةٌ لعلات, like paternal brothers. دينهم واحد. So as the paternal brothers share one father, the prophets have one religion, which is al-Islam. So the religion of all the prophets is Islam. وَأُمَّهَاتُهُمْ مُخْتَلِفَةً, meaning the rules revealed to them would differ. That's why you find difference in some of the rules revealed to the previous messengers, and that depends on the interest of the people at that time. Allah Azza wa Jal is the most wise. Allah Azza wa Jal might reveal to a prophet, who is a messenger as well, that such a matter is forbidden. Then at a later stage, after him, Allah might reveal to another messenger that this matter is no longer forbidden. It's now permissible. It's now permissible. This is called the abrogation of rules. The abrogation of rules. A prophet who comes with the abrogation of some of the rules revealed to the previous messenger will be classified as a messenger prophet as well. In our religion, there is a difference between when we say a prophet, Nabi, and Rasul, a messenger. Now, from the perspective that they all sent by Allah, you call them messengers. They all sent by Allah. But if you were to be more specific, when to call a prophet Rasul as well a messenger, we say when this prophet receives a revelation that abrogates some of the rules revealed to the previous messenger, then such a prophet will be classified as a messenger. From this explanation, we know that every messenger is by default a prophet. Every messenger is by default a prophet. But not every prophet is a messenger. Not every prophet Nabi is a messenger Rasul. But every messenger Rasul must be a prophet. If it is revealed to him to follow the rules revealed to the previous messenger, so no abrogation whatsoever, rather he is ordered to follow the rules of the previous messenger, then he will be called a prophet only, Nabi. So both an Nabi, the prophet, and the messenger, al-Rasul, convey a message to people, convey rules to people. But if the prophet conveys new rules, then we say he is a messenger as well. If he conveys the previous rules revealed to the previous messenger, then we call him a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many prophets to the children of Israel. So if you were to look at virtual chart, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons, Ishaq and Ismail. Ishaq, Isaac, Ismail, Ishmael. From Prophet Ishmael, only one single prophet came, and that is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine from the time of Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, son of Ibrahim, thousands of years, only one prophet came from this chain of descendants, and that is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the other one, many prophets came. From Isaac, yani Ishaq, came Yaqub. Yaqub is Jacob. And Jacob has another name, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, Israel. So Israel, meaning the slave of Allah. And that's a name of Prophet Jacob as well. And from Jacob, as you know, he had 12 sons, Prophet Yusuf and his brothers, the 11 brothers. So Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam is the son of Yaqub as well. His story is mentioned in the Quran. Then from the descendants, from these 12, Asbad they call them, the descendants, children and grandchildren, they all called Asbad, came many prophets. Prophet Musa alayhi salam is from them, Prophet Sulaiman, Prophet Dawood. All these prophets came from this chain of descendants. Now we are going to talk about Prophet Isa alayhi salam, who is the last prophet for the children of Israel. The last prophet for the children of Israel. But before we talk about Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus in English, let us talk about Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. Because there is something linked to the story of Prophet Isa alayhi salam when we talk about the story of Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam was sent to the children of Israel. His name was mentioned 8 times in the Quran. And Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam called people to worship Allah alone and not to associate partners with him. He also warned them of disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal and told them about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who disobey the orders of Allah Azza wa Jal. At his time, many major sins were widespread. Corruption was prevalent at that time. And even unjust rulers ruled the people of that region. Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam was in Palestine. And some of those kings even did not stop at being unjust to the lay people and the poor ones and the ones who do not have support from others. Rather, they harmed the righteous people and they even harmed the prophets and they killed many prophets. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَقَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. They killed many prophets and that's a great injustice. The worst out of all of them, who was a tyrant one, a king in the name of Herodias. He ruled Palestine for a period of time and he's the one who ordered the killing of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam. Yahya in English, they call him John. He's the one who ordered the killing of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, and we'll mention this shortly inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam stayed amongst the children of Israel, calling them to worship Allah and not to associate partners with him. And he was so patient in propagating the da'wah, because the prophets never give up in propagating the religion. And it doesn't matter how much hardship they receive in propagating the da'wah, they will never stop. They keep propagating this da'wah. They never give up. None of them had ever surrendered to the requests of the non-believers or stopped propagating the da'wah. They keep propagating the da'wah till the last breath. But Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam realized that he was growing older and older, and that his hair became gray, white hair. And he was looking at the situation of the children of Israel being filled with corruption, misguidance, especially against also harming the righteous believers, the Muslims at that time. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him a child. And he did this after he saw wondrous matters from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Our Lady Maryam with. Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam was married, according to the majority of the scholars, to the sister of Maryam. Some scholars said it was maternal auntie of Maryam, so sister of her mother. But the majority of the scholars said it was the sister of Maryam, Lady Maryam, Mary. And the wife of Imran, was called Hannah. And that's the mother of Maryam. We're going to mention her story now. She grew very old as well. And she once saw a bird feeding its babies. So she asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her a child. And she made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was a custom for the believers at that time. She made a vow to Allah azza wa jal that this child will be dedicated to serve Bayt al-Maqdis, you know, Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, to serve at Bayt al-Maqdis. So she fell pregnant. She was so excited, waiting for the moment to give birth to that child, to dedicate this child as a servant to Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem, Al-Aqsa Mosque now. She was thinking that she was carrying a baby boy. But later on, when she gave birth, she gave birth to a baby girl. And she called her Maryam. And she said what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. When she gave birth to Lady Maryam, she said, oh Allah, I gave birth to a baby girl. And Allah knows what she carried, what she conceived in her womb. And she said, a baby boy is not like a baby girl. In what aspect she was referring to in serving Al-Aqsa Mosque? Because they used to keep the child serving in Al-Aqsa Mosque until he becomes pubescent. After he becomes pubescent, he would be given the choice either to stay as a servant in Al-Aqsa Mosque or he would choose to leave serving the mosque. But as a baby girl, she will have some intervals of time when she's having her menstruation, she won't be able to stay inside the mosque, so to be a servant. So it's different from the situation of a baby boy. And Allah knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what she carried in her womb. So she gave birth to Lady Maryam. It was mentioned that her father, Imran, that's why we call her Maryam bint Imran, the daughter of Imran. Her father passed away when her mother was still pregnant with her. And for that reason, she was born as an orphan. Her mother wrapped her with a piece of cloth and took her to the mosque and gave her to the Ahbar, those who had knowledge at that time and were in charge of the mosque. It's like the clan of Shayba were in charge of Al-Kaaba. Those were in charge of Al-Aqsa Mosque. And those are from the children of Harun. So she said, I have dedicated this child as a servant to Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, since her father Imran was very righteous and was the leader, was a scholar and righteous, everyone wanted to take Maryam into his custody. Everyone wanted to look after Maryam and raise her. Here, Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam, since he was married to her sister, said, "I'm most deserving of taking care of Maryam. She can stay in the mosque, and when she needs, she can go home and stay with us." And even according to some who said that he was married to her auntie, maternal auntie, we know that in Islam, as the Prophet mentioned in the hadith, that the maternal aunt is like the mother, like a mother for the child. So he told them and they refused, because everyone wanted to have the custody, as we mentioned, of Maryam, to take care of her, to be honored. Then they agreed to make like a draw. But the draw at that time they wanted to do it was a bit different. And it's something different from a normal draw people would do these days. The pencils they had, and that they used to write the Torah with it, they said, "Let us throw them in the river. The Jordan River. We'll throw them in the river. The one that floats on the surface, his owner will take care of Maryam." So they threw all the pencils. By the power of Allah, all of them sank, except for the pencil of Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam, for something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. So Zakaria alayhi salam became in charge of Maryam in taking care of her. So he raised her in the best way. She was raised in the best Islamic environment. Imagine a prophet like Zakaria alayhi salam is raising her. And he made a specific room for her in Al-Aqsa Mosque that she would go to it by herself, and he would lock the door as well, and he would come back as well to her, and when she needs to leave the mosque for the menstrual reason, he would take her to his house and she could stay with her as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that at many occasions when Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam went to see Lady Maryam in the mosque, in Al-Aqsa Mosque, he would see her in her place having the fruits of summer in winter and the fruits of winter in summer. So at that time, you won't see this kind of fruit, she would have them. So he asked her, "Where did you get that from?" And she used to say, "Huwa min indillah." That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knew that this is a karama, we say. Karama, extraordinary thing that happens to a righteous person. Extraordinary thing that happens to a righteous person. Because she was a waliya. She was raised by a prophet, so soon after that she became a righteous Muslim. Not only that, as you know, she was known amongst people for her supreme level of piety, being very pious, very righteous. And as Allah mentioned in the Quran, that she became the best woman ever lived on earth, Maryam alayhi salam. Going back to Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam, when he realized that, look what happened about the pencils, So Maryam can be in his care. And about Maryam as well, the fruits that she would get, fruits of summer in winter and vice versa, all these extraordinary things, he wished to have a child. So he supplicated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he was very old. It was mentioned that he was 99 years of age. And his wife was 98. But when he saw all these extraordinary things happening around him, and what happened with Lady Maryam as well, he supplicated Allah Azza wa Jal. And his wife was infertile at that time, wouldn't conceive a child, very old. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his request, and his wife fell pregnant despite her old age. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide him of what to do if he were to be asked about how this happened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him not to talk to them. At that time, that's in the previous nations, they used even to fast from talking. And it was valid to make a vow not to talk for 3 days, let us say. Not fasting from only eating and drinking as we fast. They used to fast as we fast, from not eating and drinking from dawn till sunset. But they were allowed even to fast from talking. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled his request, and his wife fell pregnant. Then later on, as you know, she gave birth to Prophet Yahya alayhi salam. Yahya meaning John. Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him for 3 days, as mentioned in the Quran, never used to talk to people. Rather, he would just use his body language, gestures, signs, but without talking to them. And he was so happy with this matter. But later on, when some people amongst the children of Israel heard about what happened to him, they planned to kill him. They chased him and they killed him. It was mentioned that when he left them, because they wanted to kill him, he went to a forest, and he saw a big tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the tree by the power of Allah to open and to hide him inside it. So the big tree opened, and Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam went inside, and then it closed up to cover him. But subhanallah, it was narrated that Satan, Iblis, saw him and saw the tree. As it was closing on Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam, he grabbed part of his clothes as proof that he is inside. He grabbed part of his garment that he was wearing. Then it closed and part of it was showing from outside. And he came to people in the shape of a human being. When those who were chasing Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam reached that place, he told them he did a magic and he went inside this tree. They couldn't believe him. Then he told them, I can show you the proof. Look, I grabbed part of his clothes before it closed up on him. Then they brought axes and they brought the saw. And they cut the tree and they cut Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. So he died as a martyr, killed unjustly. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them, as we're going to explain later, inshaAllah azza wa jal. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam was born, as some scholars mentioned, before Prophet Isa alayhi salam by 3 months. Before the birth of Prophet Isa alayhi salam by 3 months. And some said more than this. So he was a cousin, maternal cousin of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Isa and Yahya. He accompanied Prophet Isa alayhi salam in his stages in life, in propagating the religion. He supported him. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Ya Zakariya, inna nubashiruka bi ghulamin ismuhu Yahya, lam naj'al lahu min qablu samiyya. No one was named Yahya before him. So he was the first one to be called Yahya. Yahya alayhi salam, as all the prophets, had a pleasing face and a pleasing voice as well. And he was strong. He was raised on righteousness and purity as the rest of the prophets. And he lived a very humble life, abstained from the worldly pleasures. He would eat from any plants that is not harmful, basically, that would grow as raw without being cooked. And also, he used to seclude himself from people, meaning stay by himself to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And never used to chase any worldly pleasure. With his cousin, Isa alayhi salam, they used to wear the unwoven wool. That's very rough on one's body. They used to wear it. And never had dinar or dirham. Dinar, the golden coin, or dirham, silver coin. And they would sleep in any place when night befalls. If they are in an open place, they would sleep there, in the forest, in an open place. And sometimes they would sleep in the mosque. So they used to spend most of the time together. And whenever they used to depart from each other, they used to advise each other of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Prophet Yahya alayhi salam prophethood, and he was under puberty. As Allah Ta'ala said, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ الصَّبِيَّ. So he was even under puberty when he became a prophet, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala facilitated for him to learn the heavenly book that was available at that time, and that was the Torah revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And it was mentioned that's for us to recall, and for your children as well, that kids at that time used to say to Yahya alayhi salam, let us play together. And he used to say to them, we haven't been created for playing. We haven't been created for playing. So that's why many young ones now, they want to spend hours and hours playing. Okay, you might, let us say, play a bit, but do not spend hours and hours for playing. Always think about this life is temporary, and one day you will depart this life. So whatever you have accumulated for the hereafter, you will take with you. That's why I think about this matter. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, as Allah mentioned him in the Quran, was very kind, and also to his parents. He was also pious and righteous and humble, and he was not a tyrant. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam did not get married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him in the Quran wa sayyidan wa hasura, righteous and pious, who would not come near woman. And that is not for a defect in him, no. But he chose not to get married. So he had no deficiency that would prevent him from getting married. But he chose not to get married in this life. That's the meaning of wahasura. Because why I mentioned this, because unfortunately some people misinterpret this verse and that word in particular, and they claim that he was unable to get married, he had a deficiency and the like. That's not true. He chose not to get married. If he wanted to, he would have been able to, but he chose not to get married. As Prophet Isa alayhi salam did not get married during his lifetime, rather he dedicated all his time to propagate this glorious religion. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Yahya alayhi salam, وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ يَوْمَ وُلِدَ وَيَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ يُبْعَثُ حَيَّا. These are three stages of one's life. Tough times. These are three tough times for one. The first one is when he's born, when he comes out of the womb, and when he dies, and that when he lives the life of barzakh, and he will see what he never seen before, that's in the grave. And on the day of judgment, when he will be assembled, resurrected and assembled. These are three moments or times in one's life where one is in need of someone who would bring him comfort and tranquility. That's what Allah mentioned, وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْهِ. He will find this peace and tranquility from when he was born and when he died and on the day of judgment when he will be resurrected. And you know, there is a similar verse said about Prophet Isa alayhi salam when he said, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. So they were very close. And there is also something special about these two prophets, Yahya and Isa alayhim as-salam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the nighted journey of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, and he went up to the skies, in the second sky he met with Prophet Isa and Yahya, the two cousins. So he met with them in the second sky. So they had a very good companionship during their lifetime. And they had many things in common. They had many things in common as well. Prophet Yahya alayhi salam used to teach the Torah revealed to Prophet Moses alayhi salam. That is before Prophet Isa alayhi salam became a prophet and he received a new book, different from the Torah, and that is Al-Injil. In English, they might refer to it as the Evangel or the Gospel, they call it. So Prophet Yahya alayhi salam dedicated his time to propagating this glorious religion until he was killed on the hands of this tyrant king called Herodias, as we mentioned. And the reason for the killing of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam was that this person, this king, married a lady. And this lady had already a daughter. So that daughter is the stepdaughter of this king. Stepdaughter. Now her mother, who was married to this king, grew very old. Then she started looking at herself and she started thinking, if I die, what's going to happen to my daughter? She's going to be deprived of this luxurious life. She's living in this palace. Then, subhanAllah, with a devilish idea she came with, She said to this king, "Why don't you marry my daughter?" And he's not allowed to. She's like his daughter Islamically. He cannot marry her. He said, "How can I marry her? I need to ask. I'll ask Prophet Yahya if I can marry your daughter or not." So he sent this question to Prophet Yahya alayhi salam. And Prophet Yahya alayhi salam said to him, "This is forbidden, haram. You are not allowed to marry her. She's like your daughter." So the king told his wife, "Yahya told me I cannot marry her. I'm not allowed to." Then, because she was so evil, she said to him, "How would he dare to prevent you, the king, from something that you want to do? You are the king, you are the ruler, and he wants to prevent you from something that you want to do? Kill him." وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And she brought her daughter, decorated her daughter as well. She put perfume on her, very attractive. And she gave him drink, alcohol, intoxicating drink. And her daughter started dancing in front of him. So his heart became attached to her. Then she said to him, "I want something from you, to bring me the head of Yahya." He said to her, "Ask for something else." She said, "No, this is my request." Then unfortunately, he ordered the killing of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam. They went to him and they chopped off his head. So this has happened to a prophet. They chopped off his head and they brought his head in a container to him. He was praying, and as he was praying, they approached him and they chopped off his head. وَالْعِيَازُ بِاللَّهِ. And it was mentioned that as they were bringing his head to this king, his blood was dropping on the ground, on earth. Every drop of blood started boiling. Every drop of blood started boiling, and it never settled until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed this king and his people, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another king called Bukhtanassar. He came from Damascus, and he killed 70,000 of them. So after he killed 70,000 of them, the blood of Yahya alayhi salam settled. Before that, every drop was boiling on the ground. Every drop. As for his wife, Allah destroyed her with something. She went to the roof of the palace. Then she fell from it. Wild animals came and started eating her, each part of her body. And it was mentioned that she was looking at them, seeing them eating every part. And the last thing they ate were her eyes. It was mentioned that the students of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, after his death, came to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and they told him about the killing of Prophet Yahya and that they buried him. Prophet Isa alayhi salam was very sad about this. And that's why there is different narrations regarding where he is buried, where Prophet Yahya is buried. There is one narration that says that the head of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam is buried in Masjid al-Umawi in Damascus. If you have been there, I've been there before, inside the mosque, There is like a tomb, and they say the head of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam is buried there. And they say even part of his body was buried even in Beirut. And there is a place in Saida as well, that's in Lebanon as well. They say that part of him could be buried there because they chopped him off, as we mentioned. So now we'll talk about Prophet Isa alayhi salam. After we put you in the picture what happened, all these circumstances that surrounded the birth of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, you know now how he started his life. The name of Prophet Isa alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran 25 times. That's name Isa. And he was mentioned as well in the name of Al-Masih ibn Maryam. Al-Masih. Al-Masih, you know, in English they say Messiah. Al-Masih, he was called Al-Masih for two reasons. Masih from Masaha, to wipe on something. Because he used to wipe on the body of the one who is inflicted with a disease like vitiligo disease. And this disease shows ugly white spots on one's body. They call it in Arabic al-baras. That's why prophets wouldn't have such a disease, because it's repelling disease. So prophets wouldn't be inflicted with any repelling disease. So he used to cast his hand on the one inflicted with this disease, and he would be cured by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even the one who is born blind, he would cast his hand over his eyes and he will be able to see as well. He will be cured as well. So for this reason, because he used to cast his hand, this is in Arabic called masaha, masaha, to wipe. So he was called Al-Masih. So Al-Masih derived from the word masaha, to wipe. Or Al-Masih from As-Siyaha. As-Siyaha meaning a lot of travel on earth. Because Prophet Isa alayhi salam spent his life touring around, propagating the religion of Islam from that region to that region to that region. So he spent his life going from one place to another, propagating the religion of Islam. This is called siyaha, to travel to many places. And for that reason, he was called Al-Masih as well. So it's either for this reason or for that reason. In both cases, that's why he is called Al-Masih. His mother, Maryam, as we mentioned, was the daughter of Imran. And from the descendants of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, David. She was highly righteous, and she committed herself to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned her in the Quran that the angels used to visit her, and the angels gave her the good tidings that she is the best woman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, when the angel said to Maryam, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah chose you and purified you and favored you on the rest of the women. So she's the best woman ever lived. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith as well that the best women are four: Maryam, the daughter of Imran; Asiya, that was bint Muzahim, the wife of the Pharaoh, the tyrant Pharaoh; and Khadija, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam; and Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran the story of the birth of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. We mentioned before that Maryam used to say in Al-Aqsa Mosque, as she committed her life to serving Al-Aqsa Mosque, and she wouldn't leave Al-Aqsa Mosque unless she had an Islamic reason where she cannot stay inside the mosque, or for something very important, very urgent and necessary, she would leave the mosque. But one day she left Al-Aqsa Mosque and she went east of Jerusalem. There she found Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Angel Jibreel came to her in the shape of a handsome person. Once she saw him, she got scared because she didn't know that this is an angel. She didn't know. She thought he's a person that he might be attacking her or assaulting her. So she said to him, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا. Meaning, if you are pious, don't come near me. I seek refuge with Allah. So if you are pious, righteous, so she's reminding him, don't come near me. But here, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam gave her the comfort and the tranquility by telling her that he is an angel and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to her so she can fall pregnant with an elite child, elite and righteous child. Here she mentioned to him what Allah mentioned in the Quran, how could I have a child and I'm not married and I've never been a fornicator? So how would I fall pregnant with a child and I'm not married and I'm not a fornicator? Because at that time even major sins were widespread, corruption, even prostitution at that time was widespread as well. So she said, how could I fall pregnant and I'm not married and I'm not a bad woman, meaning I'm not a fornicator, how would I fall pregnant? Then he told her that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, and Allah will give her a child that will be a mercy to people. So those who believe in him, that will be a mercy for them. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestined, so it will never be changed or debarred from happening. You know, ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. Whatever Allah will shall happen, no one can stop it from happening. No one can delay it from happening. So he told her that this is something that Allah predestined by his eternal will. So it will never change. Here she surrendered to Allah's decree and she accepted what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for her, although she was certain that people will not leave her alone. Then Angel Jibreel alayhi salam blew the soul of Isa alayhi salam into Mary and it went inside the soul and she fell pregnant with Prophet Isa alayhi salam by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal and without a father. And this is not impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the creator of this whole universe. Look at the sun, look at the moon, look at the skies. They are held and suspended without pillars and they don't fall on earth. Look at the manifestations of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created Adam without a father and without a mother. That doesn't make him the son of God. And Allah created Isa alayhi salam from a mother without a father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. So she fell pregnant with Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And It was mentioned that when she fell pregnant with Prophet Isa alayhi salam, she was 13 years old. She carried him, some scholars said as normal pregnancy, 9 months. Some even said 9 hours. And some said something else. So when her signs of pregnancy became very apparent, she had a cousin called Yusuf al-Najjar. In English, they call him Joseph the Carpenter. That was her cousin. He was a righteous person. And he knows that Maryam is a righteous slave as well. She's a righteous woman. But when the signs of her pregnancy became so apparent on her, he wanted to ask her, but he wasn't sure how to approach her. How he's gonna tell her what happened? You're not married. How would you fall pregnant? At the same time, how would she fall pregnant? That's out of the ordinary, without intercourse and the like. So he wanted to ask her indirectly. So he came to her as mentioned and said to her, "Oh Maryam, tell me, would plants grow without seeds? Would plants grow without seeds?" She said to him, "Who created the first plants?" "Allah, the one who created the first plants, there were no seeds. So they were created without seeds." Then he said to her, "Would a human being be born without parents, a father and a mother?" She said, "Allah, the one who created Adam, the first human being, had no father and no mother." So she answered him in this best way. Then he said to her, "So tell me what happened." And she told him the story. So he supported her. Then when the news about her pregnancy became widespread, prevalent amongst the children of Israel, they started throwing her with ugly words, accusing her of committed fornication. Even some accused her of fornicating with Joseph the carpenter, because he used to spend some time in the mosque as well. That was so tough on Maryam alayha salam, to an extent that she stayed away from people, as mentioned in the Quran, went to a place far away from people, because she knows whenever they're going to see her, they're going to tell her about this matter and accuse her of fornicating and the like. Although they knew, all of them, that she was very righteous. But, you know, people these days would believe any rumor if it's bad straight away. And they like to share it on Facebook, on Instagram, whatever, all these social media, even before they know if it's true or not. That's something you have to be cautious of. Some people, if they hear something or someone sends them something about someone, straight away they share it. If a Muslim does something wrong, does he accept that you share these news about him? He doesn't like to be mentioned with them. So it's like you are exposing them. If I go to your house and I see you doing something, let us say haram, or I see you in a place doing something haram, I can't just take a photo and upload it so everyone will be aware of what you have done and they start sharing it. They are not allowed to. That's forbidden. That's haram. So they accuse her of committing fornication, and she stayed away from them. After the pregnancy was completed, she started having the contractions of birth, and she knew that she's about to give birth soon. So she went to a palm tree that was dry, so nothing on it, as some said, no dates on it, dry. She sat underneath her. Then Jibril alayhi salam called her from the bottom of the valley, from the bottom of the valley, comforting her and making her feeling tranquilled to ease her situation. And he told her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a small river running by her so she can drink from it. And he also told her to shake that palm tree. You know, 10 men cannot shake a palm tree. And if she does so, fresh dates, moist, fresh, moist dates will fall next to her so she can eat dates and drink from that water. Yeah, between the brackets, I would like to mention that some people made research about the importance of eating dates for the pregnant lady before giving birth. And they said it facilitates giving birth. If they eat dates before giving birth, it facilitates for them to give birth. So that's something just to keep in mind. So she stayed there, then she gave birth to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And she covered him with a piece of cloth, and after 40 days she came back to her people. So she was carrying Prophet Isa alayhi salam in her hand. But as she was preparing herself to confront her people, and she was worried about what to say to them, because she knows that once they see her with a baby in her hands, they will bombard her with accusations, with ugly words. So Jibril told her that to make fasting from talking, as Zakariya alayhi salam did, to make a vow not to talk to people for 3 days. So she made that vow as well, not to talk to people. When she came with her child in her hands, they started accusing her, as she expected. And they even said, as what Allah mentioned in the Quran, Ya ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki imra'a sawin wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. Meaning, they likened her to Harun, as we mentioned before, in piety and righteousness. But no, how could you do this? Your father was not a fornicator, and your mother was not a bad woman. Imagine all these bad words, accusations, and she was patient. She didn't want to say anything. But when she reached a stage where she couldn't handle it, she pointed to her child, meaning talk to him. And here they thought she's being sarcastic about it, and she's mocking them. And they said to her, how could we talk to a child at this age? It was 40 days. At this moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show her innocence and purity and righteousness, made Isa alayhi salam talk at this age. And he said, as what Allah mentioned in the Quran, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. These words were the first ones to be said by Prophet Isa alayhi salam. The first thing he said, I'm the slave of Allah. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابِ, meaning will reveal a book to me, and that is Injil, the Evangel, and will make me a prophet, and Allah will make me a blessed person. Wherever I go, I benefit people with the knowledge, meaning I teach them, and other things as well. And Allah made specific attention in the book that will be revealed to me to prayers and paying zakah. And also Allah will make me a righteous and kind to my mother, not a tyrant one. Peace accompanied me the moment I was born. And the moment when I die, and the moment when I'll be resurrected on the day of judgment. But after he said these words, he never talked any other words until he reached the age where children usually would talk. So only he said these words to support his mother, Maryam, to show that she was innocent and she was pure, and to clear her from all the accusations that the non-believers accused her with. We stop up to here, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to assemble us with the prophets, to gather us with them in the highest levels of paradise. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah and make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.